And we do welcome you again this morning in the Lord's name. We have refreshments after the service this morning. So please stay behind. Refreshments are in the rear hall. For the rest of the service, we're going to be looking at a passage in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 10. And verses 12 to 22 is the passage that we have, and it's on the screen in front of us. And we'll be speaking, preaching about this passage for about 35, 40 minutes. And we'll sing a hymn, and then we'll come to the end of our service this morning. And we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy because we believe that God speaks through his word. I trust you don't want to hear my thoughts this morning. Just you want to hear God's thoughts, because that's what we're about, and that's why we go through scripture to try and understand God's word, that we might learn today so that we can live for him. So our subject this morning, a sheet was given to you on your way in, which gives an overview of the sermon this morning, The title of our sermon this morning is Life Lived in the Vertical, or Life Lived from the Vertical. Which way is vertical? Which way is horizontal? Vertical is up. Horizontal is that way. Okay? So we're thinking about life. The true life is to be lived in the vertical. But what is the reality? How do most people live their lives? They live their lives in the horizontal, don't they? Okay? Their lives are lived without looking up to God, but they look within. Many are taught to realize your potential, to find real meaning within, or looking outside. Just lived on the horizontal, interacting with circumstances and doing the best and getting through life. And such a life, in the general scheme with things. No, I don't want to pour scorn on things that people have achieved and things like that. But ultimately, the life lived in the horizontal is empty because it's not connected to the source of life. There was a great king, a great general many years ago called Alexander the Great, who conquered and went conquering. And when he'd conquered so many places, he sat down distraught and sad because he had no more lands to conquer. Yeah. And that's the way of this world. Whatever it is, there's a general, but people flowing in the horizontal, they don't get life to the full. As we've been going through Deuteronomy, it's continually come back to us the theme about getting life to the full, finding life to the full, and that is by being connected to the horizontal. When we live in connection with God, then we'll have a life which is real life. Yeah. A lot of lives are like hoovering up without the plug in. You go around the whole house and you take your hoover around the whole house and you do your cleaning. Well, you think you're doing your cleaning, but then you come to the end and you realize it was all futile because you didn't have the plug in. And you realize all the dirt's still there. And that's what life is lived in the horizontal, because you're not plugged in. You're not plugged into life. You're not plugged into the source of life. And that's the Lord God. Another way that we go wrong, and this is where Christians very often go wrong, is they start on the horizontal and they think, oh, we better go vertical now. You understand what I mean by that? They start living, we'll do it, this is what we're going to do, this is our arrangement. And then we think, oh, well, we better get God in on the scene. And that's not right as well. We need to start with God, not just to bring God in halfway through. Just leads to misdirected lives, okay? So as we're thinking about these things, living lives in the vertical and living lives in the horizontal, we're thinking about two themes in the Bible. There's a theme about godly living and worldly living. And when we live in a worldly way, we live without reference to God. You know, we do all of our thinking without ever thinking about the Bible or out thinking about God. That's a worldly way. But a godly way is what? We live life with reference to God. We live the vertical life. Okay. Right, so that's going to be our theme as we're going to come into this passage in Deuteronomy this morning, okay? But we just want to set it all up a bit more this morning. We want to set it all up as regards to where we're going. And we want to be aware of where we are in Deuteronomy and what's going on in history. We're with the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel have been given a special land by God. And it's over the Jordan River. And the nation of Israel are on the verge of going into it. And Moses is preparing them. And Moses is preparing them by giving them, what's he giving them? He's giving them a lot of teaching. This is what you're going to need to know. And so he's teaching them. And as we're going through these passages, we're going through a part of his teaching. And that teaching he gives them is really based upon the Ten Commandments. It's like the Ten Commandments expanded. So we're still in the First Commandment, which goes up to the end of chapter 11. What's the First Commandment of the great Ten Commandments? The First Commandment is what? You shall have no other gods before me. And that's what he's expanding in this teaching, which goes up to the end of chapter 11. Now, specifically, as we're coming to this passage this morning, at the beginning of chapter 9, first three verses, the message from Moses was, God is going to be working with you as you go into this new land. God is going to be there working with you, and you're going to be working with God. And then he's telling them in verses 4 to 24 of chapter 9, if you think you're big and you're special because God's going to be working with you, don't think again. You are bad. You've messed up in the past and you've continued to mess up. It's only God's grace that has called you into this great work ahead. And he tells them in chapter 9 verse 25 to chapter 10 verse 11 how a messed up people who did some terrible things on a place called Mount Sinai, how God had restored them. Moses had stepped in, pleaded for them, God had restored them, and then he'd given them his word and his presence so that they were set up to move forward. You see, he'd been looking back. And now as we come to chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, look what it says. It says, and now. He's saying, now, that's what happened in the past. God worked. God restored you. God gave you his word. God gave you his presence. And that's setting them up now for what is ahead. Okay? How he's teaching them now about how they're going to live in this new land. Now, what's all that to do with you on November the 19th, 2017, isn't it? Still in 2017. Okay? It's this. If you're a Christian, you've been called to live in the new land. You've been called to the Christian life. You have been called to live in a special place for God. That's why it's important. That's why Deuteronomy matters. Because like Moses was preparing those people to go into that land and to live for him, God is using this word to remind us how we are to live in this new land, the Christian life, the best life, the only life which is worth living. And so that's what it means for us to move on and live. So who's the youngest here? I don't know who's the youngest, and I don't know who's the oldest. But you've got to be a Christian, you know that. Mark has told us when he was bringing the word to us earlier, you've got to find Christ or you're in a perilous position. But the Christian now has got to go on and live this beautiful life, and Moses is telling them how to go about it. So let's go into our passage. And the first heading that we've got in our passage says key elements. What are the key elements of living this vertical life? That's what we're concentrating on this morning. So I'm going to read verses 12 and 13 of chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. Let's hear this portion of God's word. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Okay? So we've got this basic theme. These people going to live this life. In order to live it, they've got to live it in the vertical. Okay, we got that. And you, as you go out as a Christian, you've got to live life in the vertical. I've got to live life in the vertical, which means we live connected with God. Like the Hoover has to be connected to the source. We need to be connected to God. So as we come into our passage, Moses is telling them what God requires of them. What is it he requires of them as they move on? What is the basic requirement that, for them to experience real living life? Well, there are these five things here that are stated, aren't there? If you go through it, you see there is fear, there is walk, there is love, there is serve, and there is observe. Pick those words up in verses 12 and 13. But none of those words are on their own. Now, Moses doesn't say, O nation of Israel, O people of Feltham Evangelical Church, go and fear, walk, love, serve, observe. It's all connected to God, you see. They are to do what? They are to fear the Lord your God. They are to walk in all of his ways. They are to love him. They are to serve the Lord your God. And they are to observe the Lord's commands. You see, these things are all to be done, we might say, in the vertical. In the vertical, flowing from a connection with God. Now, I want to put this out. You know, when I'm saying that life lives in the vertical, life is lived from the vertical, I'm not saying to you this morning that we've got to go in for some escapism where we fantasize about some heavenly life, and then when we've got into this fantasy state, then we'll be living life. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the fact that when we're connected to God in the vertical, then our lives flow out into the horizontal and they are meaningful, powerful, valuable lives. Okay? So it's the fact that if you're not connected to God, the horizontal living is all futile and empty and worthless. When you're connected to God, you get into the horizontal and you've got peace with God in your own heart, and you've got a purpose for life. So let's go into these things. These five things. Now, it'd be good if you could get some way of getting these things into your mind as you go out into the week. But you've got an F, you've got a W, you've got an L, and you've got an S and an O. F-W-L-S-O. However you get it into your mind, I think it'd be good. You've got fear, you've got walk, you've got love, you've got serve, you've got observe. Yeah, but let's go into it, and we'll go for fear first of all. So it says, you nation of Israel, you Feltham Evangelical Church, you've got to fear the Lord your God. And what does that mean? It means you've got a deep respect for God. Okay, you want to go and live? You've got to have a deep respect for God. God is not a trendy little friend who's your big mate. God is God. And you'll have a deep respect for him. You appreciate he is eternal light, perfect and pure, grand and glorious, your creator, your maker, the God who answers to no other, fear him. None of us would walk out of this room unless God was so good to give us breath. You know that. The fact that you've got breath is God's goodness to you. Okay? You and me. That's God's goodness. Okay? So we are to reverence, we are to fear this great and awesome God. And what does it say then? We are to walk. Yeah. Just to say, Proverbs 1 verse 7 does say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Life starts with the fear of the Lord, yeah? The deep reverence for God. Okay, what's the second thing then, everybody? What is this? What's the second thing? We are to walk in all his ways. We are to be... What do you do when you walk in somebody's ways? You've got somebody going ahead, and you're walking behind them, and you're doing what they do. What do you call it? You call it imitation. You imitate them. There is a sense in we are to be imitators of God. We are to walk in his ways. There were those wristbands a few years ago. They were seemed to be quite a fashion. Whether they're around today, I'm not sure. WWJD. Which means, everybody, what would Jesus do? And that's decent. That's decent, isn't it? WWJD. We're to walk in his ways. Yeah? 1 Peter chapter 2 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. We follow Jesus. So this is the life. You're to walk in his ways. Don't make your own ways up. Don't choose your own path. Walk in his ways. And then we are to do what? We are to love him. We are to love him. I give you an image here, which is something involved in this word. You've got a toddler. Some of us have got toddlers. Some of us have had toddlers. And you've got a toddler. What do you teach a toddler? One of the things you teach them, don't have anything to do with strangers. If a strange person comes and shows an interest in you, don't have anything to do with them. Okay? But for those they do know, they should respond with affection. So basically when it says love him, it's to think about that great God who is committed to you, who's shown all of his love and affection and care and interest in all that he has done. And Christian, you're always reminded about that because God's love is shown at the cross. He's so interested in us. He gave Jesus Christ. And this God is showing an interest in us. This God is not a stranger. So the child with the stranger goes, go away. I don't want anything to do with you. I've been told, go away, go away. But the child with the loving parent says, yes, I come. I come. I trust you. And that's the idea of loving him here. We've got this God. We should trust him. Response of affection. Response of desire. So then we are to love him and then we are to serve him. And that what flows out. And going back to the child again. The child knows parents loves them. And so they can serve. They can do what the parents want. That's what a good thing it is for a child to do. That's good loving parents. And so we know this God. We know this God. You Israel, as you're going on to live this big life, go and serve. Go and do what God wants with devotion. Okay? Out of the heart. It says there, doesn't it? It says, with all your heart, with all your soul. This God is worth it. Go out into this week. Get your heart right. Where's your heart? Your heart. It's talking about the very centre of your being. Get that right. Go and serve him. And then finally, we have an observe. Observe. Observes the Lord's commands. These are from God. Give careful attention to them. Remember they are from the Lord. So God gives his commands. If you love me, keep my commandments, is what our Lord Jesus says. Just really re-emphasizing this, isn't it? So, observe the Lord's commands and decrees I am giving you today. So giving them. God's not hiding things from us. These are the things he wants us to do. He wants us to go on and love him, serve him, be for him. Okay. And 1 John chapter 5 says this. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Yeah. You're going on to live. The commands of the Lord are not burdensome. What does it say at the end there of verse 11? What does it say? Sorry, at verse 13. What does it say? These commandments are for your own good. Yeah. There is the lie that comes to us which says what? What does the lie say? God's a killjoy. God wants your life to be miserable. God wants you to cut yourself. God wants to cut you from the real business of living. And it's a lie from hell. The commands of God are for life. They're not burdensome. They are for life. They're of the true way of life. So younger ones this morning, if you're thinking about life and you're thinking about all of the draws and the enticements of the world which take you away from God and his word, remember, those things are not true life. God's commandments, God's ways is the way of true life. So there we are. What have we got then? These are what? The key elements of living life in the vertical. You're connected to God. All of them connect you to God. You're fearing the Lord your God. You are walking, you're imitating him. You are loving him. You are serving him with your whole heart. This life from the vertical flowing out, and then you're to observing all of his commandments, which he's so kindly given. So there we are. F W L S O. F W L S O. Fear, walk, love, serve, observe. Try and think about that at 11:10 tomorrow morning when you're wondering what life is about. F-W-L-S-O. Get it? For living. It's not for Sunday morning only, you know. It's for living! Right, let's get the order of life. We want to think about the key order of life in verses 14 through to 19. So let's read further in the Bible in Deuteronomy in chapter 10 and let's read. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is this day. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourself were aliens in Egypt. Okay? So we're thinking now about the key order of life. So in those verses there, verses 14 to 19, you've got, in a sense, two sections, each of them divided in three. Okay? Just to make this understandable, the first part of each, which basically means verses 14 and 17, says something about God. Something about God. Okay? Then the next statement, which is basically verses 15 and 18, says something God has done. And then the next statement, which is verse 16 and 19, says something we should do. Now what? Now just remember, that's the order, you see. That's the order. Our life flows God, what he's done, what we should do. Okay, let's get into that. It's the vertical God flowing into the horizontal. What we should do. Okay. Verse 14 then. Let's get the first, which is verses 14 to 16, is the first group. What does it say about God? To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it. So Israel, Bethel Evangelical Church, church here today, God says, Moses is saying, remember this. Everything belongs to God. The whole of the universe belongs to God. As high as you can go belongs to God. This earth has an owner who has full rights over it. And who's his name? What's his name? Who's his name? God. That's God. Okay? So remember that. That's who God is. Verse 15 then says, what God has done. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, chose them, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. So God did a special loving act, okay? For this nation of Israel, God thought, well, they're a decent bunch of people, I'll take an interest in them. Never! God in his kindness just out of his loving heart took an interest in Israel. It was all of him. The Lord set his affection on their forefathers, loved them, and he's loved you too. He's taken an interest in you. This is God's special love. This is God's electing love. This is the love that intervenes to rescue sinners still today. Not that sinners have anything to recommend themselves, but it's a remarkable thing if you're a Christian this morning that God has done what? He's done what? He's set his affection on you. And it's an amazing thing to be a Christian. He's set his affection upon you. And me. Not because we've got decent A-level results, or we've got a decent amount of money, just out of his great love in Christ, and it's flowed to us. So this mighty God, verse 14, has done this for us. Verse 15, amazing nation of Israel, appreciate it. Amazing Feltham Evangelical Church, appreciate it. Stop. Appreciate it. If you're a Christian this morning, appreciate it. This is the affection of God for you. Verse 16.
Go and live. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer.
What circumcise your hearts mean? Well, basically, it has the idea of cutting something away. When you circumcise, you cut away the flesh, don't you? You cut something away. And the idea is that the hearts are hard. They've got something over them that makes them unresponsive. But when you circumcise your heart, you cut away that hardness. You cut away that says, well, I don't like God. He's a bit nasty sometimes. I won't do what he says, but the circumcised heart, no, I'm tender. This God has done so much. This great God's done so much. So I respond, and I'll say, I want to respond to him. So you have a tender heart towards God. And what's the next statement then? Don't be stiff-necked. And we thought about this recently. What's the image of the stiff-necked? The stiff-necked is the animal ploughing in the field that comes to the end of the furrow. And the farmer is wanting the animal to turn. And what does the animal do? He's stiff-necked. He says, no, I won't. I'm still going straight ahead. And resists. But don't be stiff-necked. Hear the voice of God, Feltham Church. And hear it. And turn. And go in his way. So it's the vertical flowing into our lives. You see, get the vertical right. See God for who he is. See God for what he's done. And then circumcise your hearts and don't be stiff-necked. Don't be stiff-necked. Psalm 95, we hear about the hardness of the heart, and the challenge to the people there was not to be hardened in their hearts. The word comes, come let us bow down in worship. Come let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me, they tried me. Though they had seen what I did for 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And that was a challenge that was brought up to the people in Hebrews 3 as well. Go, don't harden your hearts. And don't be stiff-necked. Go for God. And the second section then, so that's the first section then. The second section then says, verse 17, who is God? For the Lord your God is a God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. God is supreme. Whatever other spiritual reality is, or supposed reality there is, God is supreme. And he's independent. He can't be bought, you know. Some judges are bought, aren't they? You know? Give them a bit of money and you can buy them off. Get them on your side. This God can't be bought. You can't buy him off. He's supreme, out on his own. And what's he done? Verse 18. He's taken an interest in the vulnerable. What's he done? What's it say? Verse 18. He's intervened to help the vulnerable. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, loves the aliens, giving him food and clothing. Those who are not able to help themselves, he comes and helps, and he provides for, he cares for. This is what this God has done. Therefore, verse 19, what are we to do? We are to similarly go out, and we are to love those who are aliens. For you yourself were aliens in Egypt. So a very practical issue here about our lives. We are to love the aliens. Okay? That's a challenge to us as a church, isn't it? People come from outside. We don't exclude anybody on the basis of where they come from or their background. We are welcoming people. Yeah? What happens at work or at school? What happens? when somebody for some reason is excluded, you know it happens, doesn't it? They're just not part of the group. Perhaps they've got something about their character or their background, and everybody starts with their jokes and with their mockery and with the exclusion. And what do? Christians, we should be interested in the aliens, the excluded. God provides for them. Remember, nation of Israel, you were once aliens as well. Go and take an interest in them. Now, there's a spiritual lesson here as well. God calls sinners to repentance. God calls aliens to blessing. You know, it's a principle of God's working. If you're in the in crowd, then you'll never come into God's kingdom, because it's not the righteous that God calls, it's sinners. It's aliens. So if you're a Christian this morning, you were once an alien, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are in Christ. And therefore, the gospel desire is that other people would be blessed with this provision of grace in Christ. Yeah. So this message propels us to go out to the aliens and say, this is for you. This is for you. So he just wanted to get, you see these three couplets then, have we got it? It starts with God, who he is. What God has done then flows out into our lives, yeah? God, what he's done, verses 14 and 17. God, who he is, verse 14, 17, what he's done, verses 15 and 18, and what we are to do, verses 16 and 19. Okay. So where have we come from this morning? Just got one point left. Where have we come from this morning? We're living life in the vertical, that's real life. So we thought about the elements of that life, verses 12 and 13. What do we think about secondly? We thought about the order of that life, yeah? The order of that life, which is 14 to 19. Let's read the final verses, which are 20 to 22. And the word of God says, fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your fathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. Now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. And I'm saying for this final statement here, final section here, I'm saying the key focus of our lives, the key focus of our lives. And the key focus is of our, the key focus of our life is God. But you've got some detail here, isn't it? It's going over a bit of verses 12 and 13, in case you missed it. So we are to do what? What does it say first of all, verse 20? To fear the Lord. Deep respect for the Lord. Serve him. Hold fast to him. That's your allegiance. Holding on, okay? It's the child in danger who sees something around them that causes them to the fear, and they just hold on to their parents and they won't let go. Because that is safety, that is protection, that is where I feel that all is well. So hold on to him and take oaths in his name. And something of the idea is said, I am doing this because of God. It's a declaration. I am saying this because of God. It's as if you're connecting everything to God and saying, all of my life is connected to God. It's got a commitment to God all over it. You're bringing God into everything. Okay? Now, I don't mean to say you turn up at work tomorrow and you say, somebody asks you to write a report and you start it by saying, this is God's report about the physics of a nuclear bomb. I'm just saying you should be praying about everything. Get God into everything. Not in a silly way, but in a real way. And here's what then? Carrying on into verse 21. He's your praise. He's the one you continually want to speak well of. You're praising him. It's good to praise people, isn't it? Good to praise them for good things. So we want to praise God, don't we? He's good. He's your God. A God who's not just out there saying he's your God. He's a God who's doing things. He's performed what? He's performed performed great and awesome wonders. He's brought them out of Egypt in a place of captivity when it was desperate and dire and they wondered how they were survive, and God brought them out. And what other wonders did he do? Day by day he provided for them that food, that miraculous food came day by day, that manna. And they can go back. Fellow Christians, go back. Count your blessings. Observe what God has done. Go back to your salvation and say, yes, it's amazing. I was once and now I am. Just go back. Remember the wonders of God. He tells them, verse 22, your forefathers went down to Egypt, 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. There's two things there that the nation of Israel need to have the focus upon. They've got the focus upon God, and all of these things are coming. But what do they need to focus upon here? First is God keeps his promise, because he said to Abraham when he called him in Genesis chapter 15, his reaffirmation of his call was, I will make you as what? What will he make you as? Stars of the sky. So God keeps his promise. His promise to you, fellow Christian, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. Go into the Bible this week. Get a few promises for your soul and stand with them and say, Lord, you said that and you keep your word. You did it for Abraham and you've now multitude and you've now increased. Now, final thing is he blesses. He blesses. God is a God who delights to bless. He's not a stingy God. He's increased them. And Feltham Church, let's get that. Let's be anticipating. Even as we thought about some of this energy that's going into making the gospel known and we can all be a part of it, let's be anticipating the blessing, even in numbers. Numbers is not everything, of course, as we thought. But God is a God who brings blessing in numbers as well. And we don't want people drifting to hell and allied with the devil. We want people allied with God in church, following the Lord. So where we've been this morning? Life is lived in the vertical, from the vertical. We thought about the evidence, the elements of that life. So it's an F, and it's a W, and it's an L, and it's an S, and it's an O. And go out and think about them. Don't forget them. You know they're in the Word. Then get the order right. Who God is, what he's done, and then go and do it. Then finally, get this focus. The focus is God. This great God. Okay? The people who start with the vertical are the people who live. Go and live! And if you've never come to Christ and you never come into life, go and find him. Otherwise you drift through an empty life and a hopeless, desperate eternity. So finally, brothers and sisters, Feltham Evangelical Church, go and be pushing up people this way. Pushing up to God. Relentlessly. Oh, let's sing our final hymn. And let's sing to the Lord. A beautiful hymn which will tell us that we just want to appreciate our God together this morning. And the fount of every blessing, this great God. We want to sing, we want to praise, we want to adore this great Lord. So let's sing our final hymn and really raise our voices to appreciate this God. Praise him together.